Welcome back to Cast Me to Hell with me, Seb.
And with me, Robbie.
And this week we return to our must-see horror list and we will be looking at Child's Play from 1988.
Yeah, which is it's an interesting film, I think, because I know that you, for a long time, have been a fan of the Child's Play franchise, whereas I'm not particularly into it, you know, yeah. To say the least.
No, yeah, well, we've had this several times. You've not been the biggest of fans of it. And I'm not huge in the franchise as a whole, like all of it. I do think there's a lot of bad stuff in there. Yeah. I quite liked the original Child's Play trilogy, because I used to watch those all the time. It's another one that's purely because when I was first getting into horror, it was one of the few like box sets that I had. I had the original and Bride of Chucky and
classic.
Seed of Chucky, which Bride of Chucky was good. Seed of Chucky, I think, is terrible.
Yeah,
really all over the place, really bad. And it was that mix, you know, because it's kind of all over the place, and then you have the direct to video, DVD, whatever, you know, whatever they were.
Cult,
I don't know,
curse, I think.
The Curse of Chucky and things like that, which I have watched in recent years, and they're not as bad as you think, but you can tell how kind of cheaper scale they kind of are. And you know, I think that one has, I think it's Fiona Dorif, that has his daughter in it. And it has a lot of links, and then obviously now the franchise has gone to TV series, which I've heard very good things about the Chucky TV series.
Very good things about it.
But I've never watched it.
No.
So I think it's almost three seasons in now. So I've heard good stuff. I heard something like Chucky in the White House or something like that.
Well, I mean, if you listen to our Horror Hot Takes, I believe I actually said as one of mine that I think the Child's Play remake is better than the original.
Yes, you did indeed.
I did, because I really enjoy the actual remake. I think I'm one of the few people in the world who actually really likes it.
I liked the remake as well, because I saw it as a different thing and something that I don't think necessarily had to be its own, and I don't think necessarily couldn't have lived alongside whatever Don Mancini's doing, you know, as he's going along. I think that was the thing. Everyone said it had to be that way, but I quite like that. I quite like Mark Hamill's like interpretation, voice wise. The whole technology side of it seemed, you know, interesting. You know, preceded some of the other ones that popped about. You know, not that it hadn't been done before, but you know, and you know, very much like basically that's Megan. Basically, is basically the idea of that 2019 remake.
Yeah.
So it's it's got a lot of like history in terms of films for me, but I'm not consistently with all of it, and I don't think that they are like the best horror films ever made. I don't think as a franchise it's the strongest one, because it's very all over the place as a franchise, as a whole. But this original film is the one we're here to talk about.
Yeah, the one that kicked it off.
The one that started it all.
Well, as always, this is one of our must-see horror features. You can go and check out the previous ones that we've done, but if it's a first-time listener, we talk about the film, and then we decide whether we think it's a must-see horror. As always, remember to hit that subscribe button, and please leave us a lovely review. And we will jump into it. We do actually have somebody that we spoke about in not our most recent episode, but the one before that, the sexual man Chris Sarandon in it. You know, I always forget he's in this for some reason.
Well, it's Tom Holland directed this. It's the same director. So right now it was Tom Holland's directorial debut.
Yeah.
And he brought Chris Sarandon over because, you know, you can't get enough of that sexual man.
You can't get the sexual man. You know?
I mean, not to say that he's not nearly as much of a sexual man in this role as he is. He has not quite, he doesn't quite get the chance to be strutting it like he could. I mean, he could have played that sexy cop all day long, but sadly they didn't give him that opportunity.
they denied
him. He wasn't allowed to get sexual enough of this. I mean, when you see Chris Sarandon, you think he's piping the mum.
Yeah.
It never came.
No, it never comes.
I was like, waiting for that to come. It's like, come on, you're going to pipe.
When's the piping
up? Because I completely because I had seen Fright Night and stuff like that, I had not been embraced by things, so I knew Chris Sarandon for Child's Play more than I knew that, but I forgot he was in either of them. I forgot he was in that at all. That was a nice surprise, and also interesting with the whole Tom Holland, the same director and things like that, which I guess I can kind of see in the style of the shots. But what's also interesting is like the director Tom Holland has this very good mixture with this kind of special effects,
yeah,
blending them together. You can see why he would have been hired for this job based on Fright Night, because that had so many technical elements to it. And this one has to have, like, the animatronics and stuff like that were quite revolutionary for the time.
Yeah, there are some scenes that the animatronics and the way in which they actually move Chucky is much better than I remember it being. I was always kind of like, oh, it's a very much like somebody just holding it whilst they're being attacked. But there is actually some movement with Chucky that looks a lot better than
when he properly goes from like the good guy to like then going that angry thing. I think that transition is really quite impressive. Like the way he goes, because he's just so much more fluid. I think it does help because they have the good guy one, which is, although moving and talking, it's more limited. It's like what you expect from a child's doll, a bit more. A little bit more advanced than your standard child doll. I never had one that did quite that level. But then when he goes full on fucking psycho Chucky, it's like, oh, holy shit. You know, when that whole face changes and the aggression and the anger. Yeah. And that was a whole team effort. Like, I think there was like 9 different versions in animatronics. There was a team of 9 puppeteers, that kind of had to work him. Then you had a guy who played Chucky in the costume as he like ran around and like to do those different parts. But they ended up actually using more animatronic, and the guy who got hired to be playing Chucky in like dress up actually is only in a few scenes of the whole.
Yeah, when was that?
What?
When there was a guy who was
I think half of it ended up being cut to just like when you occasionally see legs and movement.
Okay,
I think that
makes a bit more sense.
Well, this film was like what is this? I think about 1 hour and 30 minutes, somewhere, 1 hour and 35, something like that. This film was the original cut of this film was 2 hours and 5 minutes long.
Christ.
So there was a lot more Chucky. Chucky was in this film way more, moving around and doing stuff. So I think there was a lot more of the guy moving around originally, but they completely cut it down because when they did test screening of it, people were like, what the fuck? it wasn't scary. And like,
I could see that.
Yeah, there are so many people involved with this film. Like Steven Spielberg kind of had a part that played in it, and you have so many different like well-known like creators in Hollywood. David Kirshner's the producer, but he's produced so many films.
Yeah,
in Hollywood.
I saw the name sneak up.
And yeah, they had so many things involved in it, but they were literally like, you know, Chucky still needs to be like an alien or a Jaws. It still needs to be like if you constantly show him, it's just going to get freaking stupid.
I completely agree.
And I think that's what they said. Test screenings were like, this is goofy and this fit. Also, little fun facts I'm throwing in before we've even started discussing, but while I'm on the topic, it was a case of the other problem I think that they had during those test screenings, apart from it being way too long. Because imagine that in the 80s, over 2 hours, horror film being like that, almost 2 hours long, and it's not, you know, that's just ridiculous.
And this kind of horror film as well.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Something that is a bit more like,
this should
goofy.
Be punchy and a bit, you know, it's got a humour to it. And that was the problem. They had 2 other actors who played Chucky before Brad Dourif actually took. He played Charles Lee Ray.
Yeah,
he played Charles Lee Ray, but he was meant to do the voice, and then he had to go off and do Mississippi Burning.
Yeah,
which is if you don't know that film, it's a great film with William Dafoe. But he was off doing that film, so he couldn't do it. So then they had to bring him back. Then they had to hire someone else to do the voice. Then so like, oh crap, we're gonna have to get someone else. And originally they hired John Franklin, who you might not know, but you will know if he was Isaac in Children of the Corn.
Okay.
The little lad, the guy
the
who played
boy.
That. Yeah, yeah. He was the original voice of that. And then they said that basically, like, the kids, he was obviously older, a bit older then, but they were like, his take apparently was actually too humorous, which is weird because you think of just from that one performance that I only know of him, you think. Isaac, or is it Isaac, or is
Isaac.
It Isaiah, or whatever? When you think of him, like, just in acting in that role, you're like, he was too humorous. He was too over the top. But that's not the best one. Like, this is the one I thought you might have already known, but I guess you don't know.
I literally know, like, so little about this franchise. I don't know why. I've watched a few of the films, but I know, like, barely anything about them.
The other actor who they decided to get.
And please, sir, Don Knotts.
I mean, it's almost as crazy. And the worst thing is, I'm now trying to remember her name because I've blanked out. So it was a woman. Yeah. There's a little tease for you. But yeah, I've just blanked on the that's it, Jessica Walter.
Jessica
Walter.
What you mean, Mallory and the woman from?
Arrested Development.
Yeah, Arrested Development.
Yeah,
that's really Bloof. Weird. Bloof. Yeah.
She was the original. She was almost the actress actress who would have been the voice of Chucky. So they originally go for like a more of a obviously like a childlike boyish kind of one.
Yeah,
and they hired her because there'd been another like classic actress who'd done Pazuzu in The Exorcist and had this kind of way. So they were like, oh yeah, it doesn't have to be a man. It has to.
Yeah,
it needs to be like a childlike wonder. So they're kind of in that, and obviously. This is 1988, you know, you've got lots of shows on the air that kind of have those kind of voices, and
yeah.
You've even got ones like this was just around the time that the things like the first things of The Simpsons and stuff like that, yeah. Girl Plays Bart and stuff like that. So like, yeah, this will work.
This will be fine.
And they were like that. And this is the weirdest part. So the dude that you know as Isaac was known too humorous.
Yeah.
She was too serious and they couldn't get the humorous part out of the actress who went on to be in one of the funniest comedies of all time. Yeah. And yes, so apparently they were just like, it's too serious and she's not getting the humor. She's not doing the humor part. So it's really weird.
I could see that though, because yeah. Like even in like
she is a bit more of a sit like
she's
serious.
More deadpan and yeah, fairy. Yeah. She's the straight person. Whereas that's fucking really weird.
Yeah, and then finally they got Brad Dourif back. They were like, oh, fuck, this still isn't working. So finally, after all of his schedule cleared up, they got Brad Dourif back.
Which makes sense, because if he plays him in the
yeah.
the start, why would his voice
well,
change?
There was one point when they weren't even going to do any actor being the voice of Chucky. He was going to be like an animatronic, you know, like
yeah.
getting kids' toys. So like that kind of robotic kind of voice. They're originally going to just do that. They're going to make like robotic kind of noises. So it would have been like one of those weird 80s like
yeah.
robot voices they'd have out of him. But
like Robocop.
But again, this as a film, I just think would be so much worse if Brad Dourif was not the character.
Yeah, he is, you know, he does a lot of the legwork.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Chris Sarandon is good and most of the cast are actually really good.
Yeah.
I think one of the stronger elements of the film is that you do have a good cast and a likeable cast, you know?
Yeah. It is elevated. I mean, obviously you'll be on the side of saying that, you know, Brad Dourif isn't the only person who could play Chucky and other people could pull off that kind of role.
Yeah.
As we said, we both actually quite like Mark Hamill's voice yeah, when he did
Mark,
it and stuff
fucking
like that.
Mark Hamill.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a great voice actor. But when you think of the actual, like, the rest of the franchise,
yeah,
I think the bit that makes Chucky iconic is the voice.
Yeah,
you know,
and if you had had some other voice doing it, and it was also right. Like, imagine how bad it would have been if they had gone with this really like overly humorous kind of like Don Knotts. That voice come out of Chucky kind of thing when he's like, and it's changing and then changing to that. Although at the same time, if it, the good guy, but you know, because obviously Brad Dourif isn't. He's not the good guy who told part of it. He's Chucky. He's when he actually fully turns into it. So, you know, it works because of that suddenly going from this like childlike little like voice to like this fucking really
yeah,
fucking
I'll fucking kill you. Which is great. It works so well.
Yeah.
And strangely enough, like as we're talking about Child's Play now, but the first Child's Play or Chucky film I ever watched was Bride of Chucky.
Yeah.
And so my entry into the film was Bride of Chucky, and it was late 90s, early 2000s maybe.
Yeah.
So I watched a lot of, I watched that one, I watched like a couple of the later ones before I eventually went back and actually watched Child's Play.
Yeah.
And knowing that the actual contrast of it, because later, you know, the first Child's Play is relatively, it's still a bit of kind of a humorous film, but it plays it a lot more straighter, whereas later on, you know, Chucky's a bit more
yeah.
fucked up and it kind
oh,
of,
it,
yeah.
it's so like dark, it's so like, I don't know, black comedy kind
yeah.
of dark, you know, that kind of humor. It's very tongue-in-cheek, some of them. I really like, the humor is really like just a bit like, I don't know, the humor's just very out there, and I think that's... But then this one is definitely very different than most of the other sequels and stuff.
Yeah.
Like most of it. Like the Child's Play 2 and Child's Play 3, which I always remember because I always remember going into the... That's one of the ones we talked about when we were first starting about going into the video store in our little village in Churchdown. And I remember there being this old little village store, and I always remember just staring at the Child's Play 2 with Chucky with the
scissors,
the jack-in-the-box and the thing. Because it's just a classic, like... Like, and the film itself is not nearly as classic almost as that video is, but it's just those kind of things that I just remember seeing it all of the time. So, but they definitely got sillier and sillier as a lot of them do. I mean, as most franchises do as they go.
It's how it is, isn't it?
But yeah, that kind of dark humor kind of kept going, and then it took a very different turn with Bride of Chucky and. Then Seed of Chucky's just so
Seed of Chucky's dog shit.
It's just over the, like, it's just ridiculous and over the top.
And then
but,
Curse and Cult, I think I watched them and they were dog shit.
Yeah, they're not like they're just, but the difference with that one is there was no money behind it. They were just like it. But and it's also, I think this contrast here is it depends which one you like, because do you like Don Mancini's vision of Chucky or do you like a different person's?
Yeah.
Because this original film is not really Don Mancini, though, as much as he says that he's the one that created Chucky and all that kind of thing. A lot of it is Tom Holland, and a lot of it is David Kirshner, the producer, and there's another guy in Varka who I can't remember now, but basically they've been in a, like, forever been in a fight about who actually made, who made this film, who made that, because John Mancini came up with the original
concept. I always thought he was the director. But,
his concept was different in the original draft. He was like he was like a doll that was like a blood-based doll.
Yeah.
That then the kid like cuts himself out and gets mixed in with the blood, and therefore it's more of a case of the boy, and you don't know whether it's the boy or the doll, and it's more of a question mark who done it.
Which is like, kind of is a bit bled into this.
Yeah, you've got a little bit of that strand still going through.
Yeah.
But it's not so much like you don't actually see who the killer is, and that's revealed very quite quickly. Once it gets into it, it's like
very quickly.
The doll's killing.
That story, that kind of question or that theme is more for the other characters who are like, Andy's a fucking loony. You know?
Yeah. So originally it was like the doll becomes alive because it gets linked with the child and becomes alive that way. So it wasn't a serial killer. And so Tom Holland came up with the idea of the serial killer inside of the film, which was an odd point to me, because that's the part that got Brad Dourif hired. Like, that's the part where Brad Dourif managed to become the character, because they decided to make a serial killer who does a voodoo kind of thing, which all that part was Tom Holland.
Yeah.
The whole, like, he goes into him like that. That all part was Tom Holland, and, yeah, you know, you've got Brad Dourif, who's very linked with Don Mancini and being like, you know, he only does the stuff that he'll do kind of thing, which is interesting, because Tom Holland, the original director, is the one that wrote the part that made the part that followed.
Which is interesting, yeah.
Yeah, because he came up with the name Charles Lee Ray, basing it on Charles Manson and Lee Harvey Oswald and some other killers.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Like, he came up with a lot of those parts, and he did a write, and then he quit the film, and then he came back to the... Tom Holland came back to the film after some other people. This film went through, like, so many different people, the original one. This is, like, this is a proper mishmash of ideas, and it, which is why, like, and that's why we got the remake, which was MGM, because they owned the rights to the original film, but only the original film, because the sequels got sold off to another company, to Universal, I think it was. So you've already got that one, which is interesting, but you've got that's why they were able to make Child's Play the remake, and that's why a lot of people say, well, it's not a proper one, because it's a one-off kind of... It wasn't linked with anything. It wasn't, like, you know, it was the studio trying to make money, is what they call the remake.
Yeah.
So that's where you got all that part from. That's just some of the weird, like, kind of history
that came before, the
mishmash of what all came, which we normally mix in a bit more, but I think that's the groundwork of why this film is... weird, because it's like we said, we're doing Mussy Horror, and I thought it was interesting to kind of have that kind of base, because to look at this film in a way like some people think, this was a simple film, someone just made it and it was simple, you know, it was a simple concept, you know, child, the doll comes alive, things like that. they play in all these parts, but it's weird to think that actually this was like a really long journey to actually finally to get actually this film made. To
get off the ground, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a really long concept to get there, and then even then, it's like to this day, it's like if you think that the original film is the truest version of Chucky, then in which case, it's not necessarily the version you still see today.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of the ones done by Don Mancini are the ones that have a lot more of that tongue-in-cheek humour.
They got the weirdness of it.
Yeah, you know? And I think he's as he wasn't like a main director or wasn't even a big writer, you know, this was just like a first kind of concept script for him.
Yeah.
That's kind of travelled over the years of like slowly working out. I think that's why a lot of people deem the new Chucky TV series, because like he's finally got it. Like he's finally got the balance right. It's not too over the top like Seed of Chucky was in the humor department, and it's not too fair, and it's not overly crass that you can't really like link with it, because that was the problem with Bride and Seed that I kind of found at times, is it was just overly crass and overly like dark, like I was about to say dog shit, but you know, it just was an odd one. Not that it's not like good, the whole Tiffany character and stuff added something to it, but yeah, it's all of those concepts. So this is almost not his film.
I just remember there being a rumour that Stone Cold Steve Austin was a security guard in Bride of Chucky. And I don't know if that ever, you know, I don't know if that ever was true, but that's what inspired me to watch it, you know. In like the year 2000, it's like, Stone Cold's in it. Yeah, I'm watching it.
I can't even remember who, is it? I can't remember if it's Bride of Chucky or is it Caesar Chucky that has something like, what's the random ass rapper who's like in one of I can't remember now. I was like
Tio or something.
Yeah, like some just random ass rap. It's just so weird. It's such an odd franchise, this one. But the original trilogy is fairly consistent. It's after that it starts to go like fucking crazy.
And so, I think the basis of the film, I think, is a very interesting, and it's quite an original story as well. You know, you have Chris Sarandon, the opening, you know, the sexual man Chris Sarandon is chasing Brad Dourif, who some might think is a sexual man. He's a handsome man. He's chasing him.
I think more of a sexual predator than a sexual man.
Two handsome men are chasing each other.
I mean, let's be honest. You'd hire Brad Dourif to play like Grimer Worm.
To great Grimer Worm.
But you'd never hire. You'd never hire Chris Sarandon to be like. No one's believing that. Brad Dourif, you're believing.
But then, you know, they're chasing through the kind of, you know, like the city streets. And
down and dirty New York, down or Chicago, and wherever it is.
The Chicago,
to us in the UK, but Chicago, Philadelphia, New York, Manhattan. It's all one. It's all the same landscape, right?
It's all the same landscape.
It's like how you think we're all basically just Cockney Londoners. Yeah, that's it. London's the UK, right? Everything.
Yeah, London's the big one. So they're chasing, you know, Mike Norris is Chris Sarandon's character. He's chasing Charles Lee Ray.
Yeah.
And I think that's when we find a little bit of information about him, that he's saying like he's a serial killer. He calls him got him the something strangler.
Yeah.
Which I never remember them calling him throughout the rest of it. I always remember the stuff about voodoo. However, yeah, in this I was like, He's a strangler. I always thought he was like a ritual killer.
Well, that the voodoo makes you think that, because he's a voodoo. You think, he must kill them in a certain way.
But his mate, Charles Lee Ray's mate Eddie Caputo has left him behind.
Yeah,
and Chris Sarandon shoots him. And this is one thing that kind of I forgot just how kind of like big budget this film is. I remember it being a lot of a smaller budget. However, as soon as, you know, we get Charles Lee Ray, he's like, I need to find a body. He's been wounded. He's dying. He finds the good guy doll.
Yeah.
And then he does the voodoo spell to go into it. We get like a massive fuck off explosion.
Yeah, a lightning bolt comes through the building and then boom.
Yeah. And I kind of never...
It's a big set as well, because it's like a proper toy store. Yeah, and like it looks proper, like they've proper mapped it out and things like that. You know, good old Mike Norris or Chris Rat in the middle of all that. He's just, he gets proper like blown away, and then he's like making his way through the toys, and he's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The explosion alone looked like enough to, like, because he gets like blown backwards, and you're looking at it and go, like, you look like you should either be on fire or dead. Or just like, dead. Played or dead. But he just lands in some like teddy bears and he's just like, yeah. Oh yeah, I'm alright.
I'm fine, I'm
like, he, saved by his ginormous penis.
Yeah, I'm Chris Redd. I can't die by mortal means, you know?
Jerry Dandridge.
Jerry Dandridge, yeah. But it's I think it's quite a good setup, you know? I think it's...
I think it's cool. It gives you a really interesting part. He's oddly, although I remember Charles had come across as more sinister in this opening, when actually I didn't find him that, he wasn't as sinister, because he's quite like, at one point he's almost like begging and crying for the fact that he's going to die, you know, yeah. Like when he's going towards the good girl, which I guess adds something to the character.
And that's the desperation.
Yeah, you know? But it's just like, you didn't quite expect to see that, because you expect him to just be more of like a dirty, sleazy kind of... Because that's what Chucky kind of comes across as. This is this like dirty little sleazeball.
Yeah, but then I guess part of it is like Charles Lee Ray or Chucky kind of being like, actually, I'm invincible. I could sneak around. You know? Yeah. Nobody's got to believe it.
Think of all the people I can diddle in this.
Yeah, think of the people like, fuck. I can diddle so many kids. That's what he's saying to himself, isn't he?
This would be such a different film if the setup was basically like a paedophile.
It was a paedophile and it's voiced by Don Knotts. That would be a much more interesting remake, you know?
Jesus Christ, that would just be terrible.
That would win an Oscar. And it's got like it much more leans into the humour, you know. It's like 90% really like humorous. You've got like,
how do you make a 90% humorous film about a doll that diddles children?
Because most of the time it's like he's running around by Chris Sarandon. The only way he can like defend himself is like Looney Tunes. So he's like dropping like a banana peel, painting like a tunnel, that kind of thing. And then there's just like a little bit where it's just like brutal child molestation.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Just so you get the balance right.
I'm not sure you can balance that. That's the part of my head. It's like you got all this chasing around, and then suddenly this really uber like serious scene. Yeah. Like, it's like, why does the doll never want it? Like, everyone's like, shouldn't he be out like Chucky? He's out hunting like different people. It's like, no, he doesn't need to, because he's exactly where he wants to be. He's with Andy.
He's with Andy. Yeah,
it brings a whole different star to like Toy Story.
Yeah. I mean, that's my director's cut version.
That's your version of what. Instead of Chucky, he's like diddles.
Yeah, he's just diddling.
We've completely gone off of that. So we were talking about the opening scene. So him becoming Chucky in that big like fuck off explosion that goes on.
Yeah.
It's not like that is mainly is it, because then it's just into that. The explosion's gone on, and then we're just into the whole. I can't stop thinking about that. We'll back to that in a second. I'll tell them what was in my head a second ago, which is all I remember. My own background story with Chucky, is when I went to like Universal Studios and they have like a haunted house there.
Yeah,
and I remember it being like, to be fair, it was a damn scary haunted house. Go through different like movie sets and stuff like Frankenstein's movie set, and then you go through like body bags like in Texas Chainsaw Massacre and shit like that, and then you go into a room that's filled with good guy dolls, and then out like and you expect one to like pop out of this thing, and then literally like I remember walking through my dad, and then just suddenly next to you just stood right next to you was just him, just like some little dude dressed as a Chucky doll. And I remember my reaction, because I literally jumped and I went fist. I remember going like as like a 12-year-old boy going, getting into a goddamn fight with a Chucky doll. I literally went straight into reaction of shit, gotta kill it.
Fucking classic.
And all I could think was, come on, someone must have like must have gone shit, no, like
just absolutely like, knocked him out.
Yeah, knocked him dead. And then after that, it was followed by suddenly a door opens and there's fucking Leatherface who chases you out of the place. It was badass.
Yeah, but it's badass.
It's all I remember is that little Chucky doll. And just for this day, every time I think of it, I just think, what would have happened if I had?
just
fucking pouted. Pouted that like actor is chucking him right in the face. I mean, I don't know who was in the costume. I mean, I've got a very small person, yeah. Whoever it was, or a child.
Or a child. Child
on violence. And now we're back to diddles.
Now we're back to diddling. Don loves diddling.
Then we pretty much go straight over to the family, don't we? Yeah. We go over to, after that tangent,
we meet Mama and we meet Andy. And we actually have a really sweet introduction to Andy. You know, he's making his mum like cereal, and he's filling it too much and pouring too much milk on.
And there's like the animated toast. Good Guys cartoon, which I thought there were really nice little touches. Like he had like the cereal of Good Guys, and he had all of these like commercial things that you'd expect to see of this kind of like big, huge toy.
Yeah.
And like, especially like not always so much in the UK, we would get stuff like that. But in America, in the film stuff, you always used to see there used to be like non-stop commercialism of like everything. They'd have a cereal, they'd have every kind of like lunch boxes and all that, like everything everywhere, like be mad with it. So to see all those little details, like you've got the Chucky, there's even an advert that comes on with like a Chucky doll talking, which is actually, that's the one time in the film you can hear the John Franklin, thing. That's his voice that they used for that one. So they kept his dialogue from that one scene and put it into that TV commercial. So you can hear his voice in the film. You can't hear Jessica Walter's voice. Yeah. Hers was completely cut.
Because the voice sounds the same as the regular good guy.
Yeah, I think if you listen to it, it's a slightly deeper, the kind of thing. Because I remember, and I didn't know this before, I found this out afterwards, but I remembered, like, I don't know why, but I remembered watching that little scene with the advert with the doll kind of talking in this, like, looks kind of like it's on a farmyard or something like that kind of thing. But I remembered hearing it talk and be like, why does that one sound so different?
Okay, fair.
Slightly different than the other one. So there you go. Little tidbit if you're rewatching. is the John Franklin. That is Isaac from Children of the Corn.
Why does that one sound like Don Knotts?
Yeah.
I can't get over that, man.
And so I liked all those things, like the little animated show, and he's making his mum like the cereal and like proper mess of it, burning the toast and getting that orange juice, and it's all very like cute.
It is, and then he's spilling it on the floor when he's going to take it to his mum, and it's his birthday. He sees like the massive box and he's like, oh, I've got a fucking good guy, haven't I?
Yeah, he gives it like a little cheeky grin, like, I know exactly what that is. And he's hoping it for him. He's got that loving in his heart. He wants to go. He's going up like I'm gonna get this now.
Yeah,
like, I'm gonna wake her up very, very early. I think it's like 7 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, I was like, what the fuck's going on? Or 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck's going on?
What are you doing? Yeah, just waking me up. Which is a classic move, man.
It's your birthday, and he's very, very excited for this single mummy.
For a single mummy, yeah, but. You then find out that it's a pair of fucking jeans in a big fucking box for some reason.
What? Yeah, I was going to say, that mum fucking teased that kid. Yeah. Like, why, like, not only that, there doesn't seem to be enough in there at all. Like, why did she go to the effort of boxing it so big for something that you know that no child is ever going to want? No child's
ever going to be
like if it was
jeans.
A different thing, if it ended up being a bike, but... I feel like that's even more of a dickish move. It's like, fucking jeans.
Yeah, jeans.
And then she puts it in the exact shape box of the doll. And it's like, you fucking bitch.
And then she gets in the doll toys. So I was thinking,
extras.
Yeah, then she's like, oh, I've got you one. But we find out that, you know, times are hard and friends are few, you know. She's working.
So she's got the little accessories that are meant to go alongside the doll.
Yeah.
That's like, I mean, that's like, for any child from a certain era when they had, like, again, like, a million toys you used to have.
Like Action Men.
Power Rangers or Action Men.
Yeah.
It's like, literally, it's like, I bought you the scuba stuff, or I bought you, when they used to do, like, the clothes for him or something like that. I bought you the clothes with, like, here's a scuba outfit. But I didn't get you Action Man. But by the way, Action Man is the British G.I. Joe.
Oh, yeah, they don't have him, do they?
They don't have Action Man. Action Man was better than G.I. Joe.
Action Man was fucking class. And Dr. X.
G.I. Joe was just some army dick. Action Man was like this fucking proper buff. I mean, he's sexual man.
He was a fucking sexual man, wasn't he?
He showed men what they should look like.
He did. He was a good role model for all young boys.
Large muscles, proper cut hair. And no penis.
No penis. And blue pants. That's
the way you should be. And then ass that don't quit.
And he had an absolute ass on him.
He was literally fucking like, he would be Barbie, would have been getting it, and Ken would have been in the background crying.
Ken would have been watching it, and then he'd have gone off to some country and slaughtered the women and children. You know, that's what he would have done.
We're in a weird mood this episode.
We are. too many tangents, man. But that's when we find out, like, she hasn't got the money for him, she's having to work. And her mate's like,
Maggie.
There's a lad outside in the alley who's got the toy. Yeah. You know? And it's like some bum who's like got a trolley full of shit.
Yeah.
And in there's a good guy doll. And
a lot of it looks burnt underneath, so I was assuming that he's taken it from the destroyed toy store.
I was assuming it was just his belongings.
But that's the thing, it was in the middle of all of that fire and you saw that the building was completely fire, but it's perfectly fine. This is the part I always thought was weird with this plan. Like, the building gets blown up, then the building sets alight, and yet he's just transferred his body into it. This could have been the shortest transfer ever. When he wakes up and he's like, he's burnt to shit.
He's just burnt to crisp, yeah. He's just crisp.
He's like, I've turned it over to Chucky, and then he's just like, oh shit, I'm melting.
I'll write this forever.
But the box is perfectly pristine.
Yeah, the box is pristine and clean.
So I just take that as voodoo magic, not allowing it to be burnt.
That's what I was assuming.
If there's a flaw in this film, just say voodoo magic. That's why Tom Holland came up with voodoo magic, because he was like, I think Don Mancini and all that said they hated that part. They hated the idea of it being voodoo magic and whatever. Yeah, there was an early idea where it would be that he was electrocuted in an electric chair, and basically the power source was linked with the same building as like the toy factory, and the power would have been taken across to that thing, and it's like. Yeah, okay. But instead of it being voodoo. But yeah, they hated that. But voodoo magic just explains everything. That's the good thing. Like, other things, you get plot holes. It's like, okay, he did that made it into the doll at the factory, but how the hell are you getting out of this situation?
Yeah.
Voodoo magic.
Voodoo magic, yeah. See?
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. All of this pales in comparison to the truly great toy film, which is Small Soldier.
Oh, yeah, Small Soldiers.
It's a microprocessing chip for nuclear weapons that they put inside of a toy,
which is
the way to go about it.
It is, that's class. And that's probably why I like the remake a bit more.
Yeah,
because it's just
technology, AI, all that
technology,
kind of shit.
AI, but it's just the idea that one guy got fired and had a bad day and was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm doing it.
I'm gonna make this fucking mad ass.
I'm just gonna do it. Imagine that, one guy's fucking shit day results in all of this death.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I find there's something really fucking mental about that, because it could be.
I really like it as a revision in that version. Yeah. It's voodoo magic.
It is voodoo magic.
You must go back to the voodoo magic version. So she's like, you get the idea that she really is like a struggling mum. She's trying to balance time. She can't be there for him. You've got her dickhead. You've got the classic dickhead boss.
Boss, of course.
Ah, no, you've got to work till this time at night. I was there like, what the fuck? Like, you have to be back in work at 7 o'clock to do a several more hours. I was like, what fucking time is this shop open to?
Am they?
I mean, we must not be on like New York time, whatever.
Was it 9 o'clock? It was open till?
I don't know. She said, I think he just said, like, you've got to do a few more hours. You've got to cover her shift and you've got to be back at 7. So she was allowed to leave at 5. To go out and then come back at 7, which just sounds like a fucking waste of your time.
It's just balling. And the size
deeply into this thing, because this is a flawed management style.
Yeah,
and,
we need to fix this.
And you know, he won't let anyone else, because it's so hard to be on a beauty counter apparently. But you know, Maggie's on shoes. She ain't allowed. I think it was shoes. You ain't allowed to be on shoes and be on that one. So
not on the same day.
But of course, we have that in the way. So she has to rush off, and Maggie, being the very kind lady that she is, offers to babysit.
Yeah.
The thing that she is soon going to regret.
Yeah. I think I like Maggie as a character, you know?
Yeah, me too. I was kind of sad that she was gone so soon.
I think it's good, because this is almost like the end of the first act leading into the actual story. And I think in terms of how the film is paced and plotted out, it's pretty good. You know, I think like everything seems to have an effect on everything else. I don't feel like there's often stuff which is like, why are they doing this? Or, like, couldn't they have done this differently?
Yeah, there's not like, loads of filler, but it does go in a few different avenues, like, investigating it, that adds a little something different to it than what I actually remembered, to be honest. I forgot some of those other bits. But it does get... Yeah, it gets into the death with Maggie much quicker than actually I thought it was going to, because it does feel like this is the kind of idea where you could have longed it out, you could have had little things happening. Again, kind of point towards a little bit towards the remake. The remake has a little bit more of a teasing of it for a while.
Yeah,
it plays out a little bit more, like, more little things are happening around. Whereas this doesn't really have many little things. Although there's a couple of little things that happen with Maggie while they're babysitting, but that's pretty much it before we get straight into, oh yeah, there's a doll.
All we get is the noise, basically. It's the noise, the news.
Yeah.
You know, like Charles Lee Ray's dead, and his, you know, his accomplice Eddie Capote is, like, really is on the run somewhere, has escaped, and he's, like, more on the news at 9.
Yeah, and you get the really... You get the... Well, because you get the cool kind of... The way that the good guy doll is paying attention to thing, but then the second that comes on, he's looking at the screen. He just, like,
turns his head, yeah.
And then, like, it's kind of... And he's trying to get his attention, but he's just too busy watching, and then it gets turned off, and then he kind of gives a look towards Maggie, like...
Yeah, like, what the fuck? Fucking
bitch.
Yeah.
I was watching that, like, because he even says that he wants to watch the 9 o'clock news, and she's like, no, grabs him, grabs Andy, then comes back and grabs Chucky, and then, like, oh, off we go to bed. And it's really cool, like, when she... I like the whole, like, suddenly she hears the TV flick back on. And then it's like, what the fuck is he doing sat there?
And you start to get a little bit of, like... I think this whole sequence is probably my favourite part of the film.
Yeah, I think so.
Because you get, like... It's that Jaws thing again, you know? They don't overly show Chucky. They don't really show anything. You get, like, a really nice, point of view shot from Chucky's view as he's, like, scuttling around on the floor, going around the place. But then you just see, like, a chair move or something like that and her react. You know, you don't actually see Chucky in this part. I think it's really good.
It is all that tease, isn't it? It is like the shark in the water. It's not like actually seeing it out of it.
Yeah.
It's all those kind of, like, fun little parts, which, again, I think is what makes, again, later on when you do suddenly see that change with the mum later in the film, it makes it work a lot better because it was teased, not just constantly like, oh, I'm constantly here as Chucky, I'm constantly fucking with you kind of thing all the time. And it's really cool. I think I heard that her death is obviously, as she's kind of wondering what's going on, you see, like, the little good guy doll hammer that he was using disappear. Because I couldn't remember exactly what it was that she used to kill him, and I thought she got impaled with something before she was thrown out the window, but she actually doesn't.
No, I always remember her falling out of the window. I always remember that, but I can never remember if she's, like... I always think that he startles her and she goes back and falls out and the window's open. I forgot that we get this bit where she thinks that there's, you know, somebody's in the apartment because there's, a chair's been put up against the door and then she finds that the door's unlocked. She goes over to it and then we get a phone call from the mum, like, what's going on? How are you doing? And she's like, I've got a bit of the late night willies, which means something else over here, you know? and then she thinks she sees something behind the plant pot and it builds it up quite nice and suspenseful, and then she, like, yanks it away, and I was thinking, we're gonna get, like, straight after, we're gonna get the jump scare then.
Yeah.
I think that one thing, like, I quite like in horror films is, like, if you think about, like, the rhythm of things, you usually get, like, the fake out where you expect the jump scare, and then, like, a beat or two later you get the actual jump scare, you know? However, in this, it almost feels like a few more seconds actually pass where you think, okay, the jump scare's actually gone. And then
it comes.
The pass, you always expect the jump scare like a second or two after.
Yeah, because, well, quite often it's linked to the music, though, isn't it? Because the music rises as she goes onto the thing and it's like, oh.
And then, doom.
And it leads you into that false thing, because as much as I knew what was coming, there is always that thing, with her character where I think, oh, actually, she's not going to die this soon.
Yeah.
Because they do a good job of actually making her likable enough and building enough enough that you don't think that she's going to be like the first one out. You think you'd get rid of some more randomers before they get rid of a character who's been somewhat developed.
Well, you think Eddie Capote's got to be the one.
Yeah,
because it very much leads it up to like he's escaping for that. And then she turns around and...
Chucky's just going to head out.
Yeah.
I'm out.
I'm out. And then he fucking womps him on the...
With the little toy hammer laying her head, which at first I was like, did that just go into her head? But it actually just whacks her. And then she gets thrown backwards out of the window, which... And the window shot's really good.
Yeah.
It's really effective. Like a proper, like, the fly down, the way... Just the building as well. The choice of style for, like, the building. Another kind of little tidbit of... originally, because the first version of the script was set in like more suburban, like that kind of standard kind of suburban Spielberg-y kind of. But they thought it'd be better to be a bit more grittier, a bit more like single mart, and a bit more like tower block kind of style.
Yeah,
and that's what makes that shot so cool is the fact she comes out of what looks like proper like one of those
multi-story kind of,
and there's even the style of the shape of the window and stuff like that adds a kind of effect to it, kind of thing. So it's really. Course, she comes down and thuds into the car.
Yeah, it's so good. It's the whole scene's so well done.
And it has nice ramifications because it's her and because she was almost like mum's one support as well.
Yeah,
you got that straight away that she's mum is struggling by herself to balance all of this.
And yeah,
Maggie seems to be the person there to help her. So the fact that Maggie's the one that's an off
the first circle. One as well. Yeah,
and then you see like mum's reaction as she comes back in, and we get the sexual man Mike Norris who's there just waiting.
Yeah, he's just waiting. Will receive me.
Yeah, he's like, your friend's dead, but would you like this?
Would you like to make love?
But yeah, as she comes back in, and she's like, "What's going on?" And she hasn't actually been told anything. No one's actually gone to contact her or find her. Like, by the way, your son, we think your son might have done it. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's what I think is why. I think she finishes at 9 o'clock. It's a weird time because that's when the news is on, but I'm also sure that that is when she's like coming home. So I think it's supposed to tie up with she's already finished work and she's heading home.
Just as people have started to gather and arrive and start to work out the investigation.
Yeah.
Because they have all this, they realise that they've got the hammer is like a possible, it's been used for something.
Yeah.
And
the tiny little footprints.
Yeah, the little footprints. So they just are automatically thinking Andy must have played a role in this kind of thing. The first ideas of that. Which again, it's a cool kind of idea, that the idea of the child possibly being it. You know, it's one that's been done many times.
Yeah.
Sometimes to good effect, and some films have done it terribly. But I think it works here, especially because you know that Chucky or Charles Ray is manipulating it. Like I said before, that original concept where you don't know who it could have been really messy.
Yeah,
because it does tend to be. We've had that where it's been like revealed that the child did it, and then it just starts to. It normally ends up being like, no fucking way did the child do this or that, or like there's just too many. I think there's a film called Identity with John Cusack.
Yeah,
which had the child be the murder, or I can't remember if there's more of a reason, or there's a more.
They're all they're
all inside the head, aren't they?
Yeah,
it wasn't even the child, was it? It was all in the head. But for a big section of it, you think that the child actually had been the one to do it, and then the problem with that answer is it makes the audience just go, "What the fuck? Like, no way! What we've seen? Was it the child who somehow done this, or like it just doesn't make any sense, kind of thing in that way?" So. But here it kind of works because we get to kind of know more about Chucky, Charles Ray, while also getting to know a little bit like how he's manipulating Andy. And the fact that Andy's just really confused, like even when Maggie was alive and in the apartment being like, why did you put your Chucky doll out there?
Yeah.
Like, I know what you did, I'm telling you off. And he's like, I really don't know what the hell's going on. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it has that classic thing of like a kid knows what's going on, but nobody's got to believe a kid.
Yeah.
Because we even get the scene where Andy's in his room and he looks at Chucky's feet and they're covered in like flour or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he runs out and he's like, I know who did it. I know who's on the kitchen counter. It was Chucky.
And no one believes the kid.
No one believes the kid. And it's, we are like, yeah, this fucking voodoo thing worked. It's going on. But I like that it keeps the thread of the original idea where you're like not supposed to know. It keeps that amongst the other characters. They basically are like, Andy's a little fucking weird, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know?
There is still, like, in these early scenes, there's still enough of that where it could have been revealed that basically Andy's walking around in little feet or in maybe. His little jumper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you do often see, and obviously Andy in the start of the film is in a very simple, good jumpsuit. So you definitely could have got there. I think it takes that away very quickly once you start getting all the links to Charles Ray and stuff like that. It starts being like, yeah, no, this is definitely, he's definitely reborn in this kind of character.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, the flower on the shoes is definitely the first kind of point of no return almost. But also then when they go to, when he takes Andy to the, you know, the shithole, like, slum in Chicago where Eddie Capute is out hiding. And I can't remember how he manipulates Andy to go there, because I was thinking, like, I wouldn't go to, like, the slums of Chicago, just being like, oh yeah, I'm like 6 years old, I'm on my own, I'm gonna go to this fucking dangerous neighborhood.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how he gets there. And then
he's such a young kid as well in this situation to be like skipping school and get out. Like, to get for anyone to be like, oh yeah, no one's gonna notice that kid. He's way too little not to be like, no, there's a fucking child, but like, my child should be in school. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's not, if he was a few year like older, then it's more passable. Like, yeah, they skip school and some people don't know it so easily because they are more independent.
They're like teenagers.
But he's not like
independent. No, he's like young. He's like
but
a kid.
They kind of, again, it's the mum kind of being too big, like having to keep them going, like support
she's
them.
She's having to focus
on that.
That
she kind of doesn't always get to realise what he's up to.
Yeah. And Eddie Capute's like hidden out in that like rat infested like house, which I think is quite a nice little scene, because obviously we see Chucky sneak in, or like we see bits of him sneak in, and then the gas, you know, get turned on, and then Eddie's woken up and he's like sneaking around the house. And one of the things that I loved is like, Andy's looking for Chucky, he goes for a wee, he just goes to like piss, and then he comes back and Chucky's gone. And as he's looking for him, he hears a gunshot, and he's like, I'm gonna run towards it. Instead of being like, oh, fucking hell, I'm in it now, I need to get out of it. Fuck Chucky.
Stupid kids.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, it's a gunshot.
Gunshot, oh my god, no, Chucky's been shot.
Chucky's been shot, I need to go investigate. You know? And he very nearly walks into a house that just explodes.
Yeah. We get another explosion. Another this film's explosion. Budget with it, and the explosion of the crack den.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's how he puts computer out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Explodes the bastard.
Yeah, which I think is one of the things where, like, the later films, I feel like they do fall into being very formulaic, which a lot of horror films are. I know that's an argument. A lot of horror films are formulaic, so why am I having a pop at the Chucky films?
Yeah.
But it's very much like, there's this murdering doll, somebody knows about it, the doll starts killing people, and people are like, oh, well, no, a doll can't kill people.
Yeah.
And then it eventually finds out that, you know, he reveals himself and yada, yada, yada. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's very much like, it gets a bit boring. Whereas in this one, I feel like it's, obviously it's the first one, so it's a bit fresher. But I think the main point I was trying to make is, later on in the franchise, the kills feel, they don't feel like very accidental. They don't feel like things that are trying to be hidden, you know?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
very much like Charles Lee Ray is a sadistic little fucker and he knows it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? He's the little fucker that's going to, like, just slaughter you if you see him kind of thing.
Yeah. Because
this one is much more like hiding away in the background, like,
yeah.
I don't want people to know I'm back.
That's it,
yeah.
You know? And I kind of feel like that has a bit more... something to it.
I do think that this first one in many ways is better written than most of the sequels have ever
been. Easy.
So that's why I feel like all of these different, and that's just why I was kind of calling out the idea of, you might be a classic kind of Chucky fan but things like that, but it just, like, I think maybe Tom Holland and the other writer who did it for most of this script was written by them, not Mancini, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe you're a better writer, maybe not, you know, maybe they don't get this character completely and they don't get the idea that was in his original head and that, but they came up with a lot of the ideas that then created this character kind of thing. So that's why I just kind of think this first one seems to be a little bit more thought out. They've tried to add some extra elements into it, you know.
Yeah.
because a lot of people actually said to Tom Holland, like, because he tried to get sole credit on the film to say that he would have therefore been the owner of the thing. But they said basically, "Oh no, you just rewrote it so that you could try to get sole credit because you've taken a lot of ideas and so you know that's all thing that goes on." But we don't know how it played out. But then he rewrote it, and this seems to have added some extra layers to the film, at least, which could have easily just been such a straightforward kind of what some of the sequels are. Literally, like, this is a doll that's just hunting, and just getting around places.
Yeah.
So that's what, so then we get Andy being the suspect again.
Yeah.
Because you blew some fucker up.
Yeah, you were in the area where some fucking lad exploded.
Because nobody else noticed where this small child was for most of the day. And I was like, ah. But what we did notice is there was someone who got blown up nearby, so you must be.
So it's definitely the one. Bunking off school and blowing people up, And I think it's leaning into that whole thing of, like, nobody believes the kid.
And so when the mum tries to fight as well, nobody's believing her. Mike Norris doesn't really believe the idea that something weird's going on here, and he won't. At first, he's not, like, looking into it as much. No. She goes to try and find the dirty old peddler, and then basically almost gets raped by the dirty old peddler.
Well, first, Andy is in the psychiatric hospital, isn't he?
Yeah.
And they're interviewing him, and they're doing all sorts of stuff to him, because they're trying to find out what's going on. And then when he's saying it's Chucky, Chucky's doing this, I'm not doing anything. And I think he even says, like, his name's, like, Charles Lee Ray, that's his real name.
Yeah.
And then the mum goes home, and she's, like, checking out the Chucky toy, and she's looking at the box, and then I think she's looking at the box to either kind of throw it away or looking at
She finds the batteries.
She finds the batteries fall out, and then she's like, "Fucking hell, this thing's been."
Yeah, she looks in the back of it and is like, "There's fucking no batteries in it. How have you been doing any of this?"
Yeah. And is it then that we get... That's kind of when Chucky switches, And
that's when we finally see
Charles Lee Ray. Chucky, basically.
Yeah.
And it's freaking out. And it's a really good moment in the film.
What was it? The original title for the film was Batteries Not Included. So it wasn't Child's Play originally. It was Batteries Not Included, which is another 80s film.
Yeah.
That's why they didn't end up calling it Batteries Not Included.
I mean, it's a bit of shit.
Because, that's why I'm not saying it was a good day. I just said... Batteries Not Included, I think, is some kind of sci-fi film from the same time, basically. Yeah. But they ended up having to change it away from that, so they changed it to Child's Play.
Yeah.
I think there was, actually, when it was the original, there was also another title which was from the original concept, which was Blood Buddies or something like that.
Yeah.
Or something like that, which is not...
I mean, if that's... Either. It's not great, but if
it's the original more with concept, the original concept, but I think Child's Play works better. Child's Play in itself is still one... Child's Play in itself, I feel like you were about to go somewhere.
No, I was about to say Blood Brothers is not to obviously be confused with the classic stage play.
Yes. Even though Child's Play, most people go Child's Play and they still just basically, oh, you mean Chucky?
Yeah.
So they basically, you mean Chucky 1?
Chucky 1.
Like, they don't even think of it as, like, the Child's Play franchise. Some people, they're like, if you say Child's Play, they're like, what the fuck are you on about? It's like, Chucky. Oh, Chucky.
Yeah.
Like, people don't... I swear, people just don't, like, think about the title of, like, Child's Play, because they're like, what's Child's Play?
To be fair, I didn't.
Yeah.
When it was... I mean, the first one I watched was Bride of Chucky, and when I was growing up, it was very much
Of them have just been Chucky since the first... Original Child's Play, well, so... What
is it... Is Bride the one after Child's Play 3? Is the one
in between? That's the fourth. Yeah, that's the fourth one, technically, in the franchise. Yeah, because there's 7, I think, altogether, which includes the TV. I think that includes the TV series, actually. Different iterations.
Because you've got 3 Child's Play, Bride,
Seed,
Cult.
There must be more than that. When did I read 7? Because that's not right.
Yeah, Bride, Curse,
Cult, and then there's the TV series.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
They do start to venture into a little bit of Hellraiser territory, I feel,
Yeah.
Not to be that guy.
I mean, I could probably say I would probably still say, based on the ones that we've seen of the Hellraiser franchise, I feel like maybe they're more consistently good than the Hellraiser ones get to.
Yeah.
That's like a different level of like kind of getting bad at the point we stopped at this point. We've still got more to watch.
Maybe I'll retract that then. You know? Maybe.
I think, maybe. I don't know if the, I don't know if we can say the first four work quite as well, but yeah, definitely not. It's a bad franchise after the first one or two.
But the first attack from Chucky where he bites her and he's like corner like a bitch.
Oh, that, I fucking love that great. Scene. That's such a good
it's
scene.
It's a real switch.
That's what I mean. That changeover when it just suddenly like freaks out. Like, you know what I mean? Because you've had all of this teasing and stuff like that. When he properly changes, and as I said before, the animatronics are fucking great, I think.
Yeah.
His face, the way he's like screaming and his eyes are moving and he's like scrunching up his face, moving up his face. It's such good at like animatronics, like the way that he looks and the way he puts, and just Mum's fucking reaction, like, but also the fact that he's beating the shit out of her.
Yeah.
He's proper getting it. He's like pulling her hair, he's smacking her in the face, he's trying to bite her, he's trying to, like he's doing fucking anything, and she's like trying to fight him off. And
it does get a bit into like the classic, like, I'm holding a pretend bird, you know, like I'm holding a plastic snake.
Yeah, yeah.
Driving around on the floor.
Yeah, kind of running around. Yeah, kind of thing.
That's my one thing, I think, like, once he gets revealed, that's a really cool scene. But you do get a few shots where it is, like, somebody just holding a doll. You get some really good ones where, like, later on you see Chucky with, like, a bat and he hits Mike and you do get some good scenes of, like, Chucky.
Yeah.
But I always find that, like, it's, a lot of the times it just devolve into, like, I'm just writhing on the floor holding a doll.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it does obviously get to those kind of points. I think it's the performance and the animatronics that kind of sell it.
That's when you can see it. Yeah.
But when you can't see it, that's the hard bit. Is otherwise, it is just from the back, it basically is someone.
Yeah.
It is someone just throwing around a doll. And that's kind of part of what comes with it. Yeah, is that harder, like, at times it doesn't look perfect at everything. But much better than if it had been 2 hours long.
Oh, hell.
And you'd had a constant Chucky just, like, running around, like, constantly doing shit.
Yeah. Because this is, like, after this scene, she then goes back to Mike Norris and she's like, look, he hasn't got the batteries. It is Chucky. He doesn't believe her, so she goes to find the lad in the alley. And all of it, like, suddenly, he's like, well, what have you got on you? She's like, I don't have anything on me. And he's just like, well, I'll just rape you. It's like, it came out of nowhere. It feels like I was watching. I was on my phone.
She went after a weird guy and she decided to go down an alley and be like, yeah, this is going to be fine. This is going to work out.
She went after like a fucking nutter in a bunch of like, in like a slum, basically. I get that. But I feel like I was looking at my phone and they were having a conversation. And then I looked away for like a split second. I looked and he's like trying to rape her.
Yeah.
And then Chris Sarandon is like coming with his gun.
Here he comes.
You know?
Chris Sarandon with that gun. Sexual man coming.
Yeah.
Don't rape her.
Don't rape her.
I'll make love to her later.
I have to make love to her.
So we get gonna move it forward a little bit to the voodoo kind of, wasn't John the voodoo guy?
John Voodoo.
Who tells them all about that he's managed to take over.
Well,
and
before
he stays in their form.
You get Chris Sarandon attacked in the car.
Oh yeah, shit. Yeah,
which is another fun scene.
Cool. Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because he's like next, isn't he? Like of all the people, he's trying to get rid of all of them and he's the next one that he'd want to get rid of.
Yeah, so he tries to strangle
before he gets John
car.
Voodoo.
And then, well, at this point he doesn't know about the voodoo, does he?
But it is really cool because it works really well because obviously the old attack in the car, attack from behind, but when it's the doll, it's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what is happening? And he's just more of that he's able to get round the neck and just kind of like fucking go for him, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's fun.
Really cool.
It's really cool.
That's what I mean. It's got some fun little set pieces with him. I do think it's good that it doesn't overuse him, I don't think, for the most part.
No, I don't think it really does.
There's, you know, he is used in just fair shot, you know, obviously ups it a bit at the very end kind of thing with more kind of stuff. But
yeah,
I think because it teases it out for a good while. But again, on the flip side of that, they do show it faster than I actually thought I remembered. I actually thought he was teased for longer than
until the end. Yeah, no, it's probably about
that. That's why I keep forgetting. That's why I forgot the bit with the mum like so early, because I keep thinking of that coming later in the film when they have like a final battle kind of thing. But it's not. It is earlier when she finds out, because then she's part of the whole like I need to find for Andy, because it kind of steps away more from like Andy and more like mum story.
Yeah, because because Chris Sarandon fucking puts a bullet in Chucky.
Yeah.
And then Chucky goes to the, you know, then Chucky goes to the
big man putting a bullet in a doll.
Yeah, big man put a bullet in a doll. He then goes to the voodoo man. Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like the film, I think it's very basically kind of written where like something happens, which then okay, then this has to happen. This has to happen.
Yeah,
it feels like it's very like deliberate. Like yeah, I think the story of it is,
well, it's just that
good.
It is following this kind of like the investigation almost into yeah. like how can someone become this?
Yeah,
how we need to follow these blood like these breadcrumbs in order to find out how to stop yeah. someone in this kind of, or is he really in this form, or is something else going on? Or...
Yeah, it's like I think it's very deliberate in how it's paced, you know, because after he gets shot, he starts bleeding, and he's like, "Well, the fuck am I bleeding? I need to go to the man who, you know,
yeah,
who taught me the voodoo."
I do like the idea when it like implies the whole like basically that the inside of the doll is
it's like
human.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah, the whole like fact that the inside is like that. I did like that idea because quite often it's like, you know, it follows the thing. That's one of the things that is somewhat lost with the remake is that kind of actual. It's truly becoming like it's not actually yeah. just a robot. It's truly becoming. So the idea that it can actually be hurt is a bit more of like a...
It's a... Yeah.
And that's why I mean, that's why I quite often think of that remake as like, it's its own reinterpretation of the story.
Yeah.
Because it's technically not like the same kind of thing. Because this is like technically a doll that's becoming like almost humanized inside of it.
Yeah.
Like this Chucky actually is stoppable, whereas technically the other one, because of the whole website, like the online kind of part of it, actually becomes indestructible.
Yeah.
Kind of like Skynet or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, it becomes sentient.
Yeah.
It's that thing of like, I think to talk about the remake a little bit, is it's not very, it doesn't feel like one of those films where it's like the Wicker Man remake, or it's a great remake, but even like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake,
yeah.
where it's more of a modern day, slightly updated storytelling of basically yeah. the same story.
Yeah, it tries know? Something different. As
it tries
well.
Something different.
It tries it. I think maybe because it only had the rights to the original film, so therefore couldn't take any of the other franchise stuff. So it had to take it in its own way. But it does because the only parts that it's only like the apartment building and stuff like that. But it's yeah. an older kid. It's not quite the same situation. It does have stuff to do with the mum and stuff like that kind of thing. Those are the only bits that really like, yes, you've got a detective and things like that, but that's yeah. a common kind of thread anyway, in most of these kind of films. But apart from that, it's a lot of the other stuff, the direction it goes in, the kills, the way yeah. it teases him, the way it plays out by the end of the film is all very different
yeah.
than
the motivation.
It's not a straight up remake. And you do get so many. That's why it's much more of a reboot of the idea, a
yeah.
reinterpretation of a character, which is why I think that one's perfectly fine to be like, that can still be there,
yeah,
and we can still have this one, and they're not clashing. And like when you have someone that reboots it in the way of like, oh, I'm taking some of the old, but I'm
yeah.
doing it my own way, or when you just straight up remake it, like so many of them do, where it literally is like. You've just shot for shot.
You've just shot for shot. Yeah.
Like, which is the worst.
You've just put Nicolas Cage in this.
Yeah, yeah, that's why. Like, yeah. Like, well, I mean, that one wasn't a shot for shot, but that one was on its own fucking level. What the fuck are they,
yeah.
like, you're doing? But yeah, we know so many examples of ones where, like, they just are redone. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
It's like
Psycho.
Psycho. Yeah, yeah. That one literally was.
Yeah,
completely. That I mean, that was the director's intention, but I don't know why.
It's a very weird choice, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a very odd choice, that one. Even then, like when you had other ones, like Rob Zombie's Halloween technically was half and half. It was like the first half was like its own thing, and then the second half was
something else.
But the second half was just Halloween. It was just like a really quick 45-minute version of Halloween.
A little speed run of Halloween.
Yeah, literally was like, yeah, let's quickly run through the highlights.
Yeah.
There you go, done. Like, it's an odd concept.
Yeah.
Well,
we then, going back to...
So we've got the Voodoo Dr. John. He's finding out about his whole... That he's going to slowly become it, and he'll be stuck in this form if he doesn't go into the human form. And the first form that he kind of found was obviously Andy's.
Yeah, the first one he revealed his true self to.
Yeah.
And I think it sets up the kind of third act of the film, you know? It sets it up quite well. And then Dr. Voodoo John is like, I'm going to fucking kill you now, mate. You're an abomination. Which is kind of true. And we get another quite, you know, decent death where he voodoo dolls him.
Using the voodoo to fuck with his body.
Which feels, this feels a lot more of the, like, what Chucky would later become, you know?
Mm.
This kind of kill.
The torture and playing with him kind of, yeah. That one does feel a little bit more. But at least it uses the powers that it said at the start, you know what I mean? At least it's not just the voodoo thing. Because quite often, sometimes, again, this has been done in horror films, where they'll use it and it'll be like a way for them to come back alive.
Yeah.
And then there's no other reference to them ever actually having that or using never that do skill. It again. It's like never talking, what do you mean, supernatural? I didn't do supernatural. I needed it as an excuse to come back alive again, but apart from that, I can't do it. Whereas this actually has him like using that kind of power and talking about it and actually like, I'm going to use this to fuck you up. So, like, it's that kind of stuff. So, I like the fact that at least it links back to that, and it wasn't just a throwaway. Like, oh, we need a reason for him to be doing
to
this.
Be doing it. Yeah.
Whereas it actually has like this implies the idea that Chucky is actually kind of part of the occult or something like that.
Yeah, this is when it really starts to lean into that. Which
this is mainly then leads to the third act or like final kind of
confrontation,
because he's going after Andy in the psychiatric
hospital. Yeah. Which is a cool scene. Andy's like outsmarts him, you know.
Yeah. Outsmarted by the boy who burnt toast.
Yeah. Yeah. The boy who thought that burnt toast and a scoop of ice cream is a good breakfast.
That was butter.
was it butter?
Yeah, it's butter.
Why the fuck is he using
it? Looks
ice cream
it looks like ice. Yeah, he's butter. Doing it to get that. Well, they have. There is an American kind of thing with the butter, the French toast, and it. I'm sure, because I was literally sat there like, oh, what the fuck? I was like, oh, that is a horrible amount of butter that you just put on that.
And I was thinking he's trying to make an ice cream sandwich.
Yeah, or because like French, because in America they have the whole French toast where they put powdered sugar onto. But he doesn't do any of that. He just says that, and then it looked the colour of, it looked more butter to me than it did ice cream, but I don't.
It looked ice cream to me, because it wasn't like yellow. It was like white. It looked like vanilla ice cream.
I just thought it looked like a cheap ass margarine or something like that.
Even margarine's like got a bit of a yellow tinge to it. I got some in the fridge.
I don't know why. I feel like I've seen something where they put a horrible amount of butter on something. Yeah. So it just felt like the excess
of
that.
Maybe it is.
I'm not sure. End this debate. Find out for us.
End this debate.
Butter or ice cream?
Yeah, hashtag butter, hashtag ice cream. Let us know what you think.
Which one do you think it is? Did it say on the side ice cream or butter? We're too lazy to find out. So hashtag butter or ice cream.
Hashtag butter or ice cream.
If you want to make it more interesting, which one's the better lube?
Yeah.
Butter or ice cream. If you just tell us also for which one was eaten.
Maybe that might be easier.
Mummy didn't want to eat that.
Mummy didn't want to eat it, and she didn't want to use it as lube.
well, we don't know what happened with Mike Norris later.
No, we don't. Because the final confrontation, you know, is...
Oh, you get the electric... I forgot that bit.
Yeah.
The electric shock. Death.
He fucking... Fries them. You fucking scramble.
It does show that
eggs.
This one as well, actually. These later deaths are. The early ones are more by chance. These ones show the more proper fucked up side
of it.
This is the sadistic side coming out that I'm going to use these to kill these people and stuff like that. Like that one. That one definitely was a little bit more sadistic in its approach.
Just straps the thing onto his head and cooks him.
Yeah.
Just cooks his brain.
Yeah, that's what it was a cool one.
Puts it in the air fryer.
Yeah.
Just fucking gets it gone, man. It's a decent kill. Because there isn't an massive high body count in the film. I feel like the later ones start to revel in that high body count, you know. Particularly... Maybe it's just because I've kind of watched most of them once, and I don't particularly have a great, you know, like, memory of the franchise. Maybe that's just me remembering it wrong, but I feel like the later ones have a much higher body count, whereas this one is...
They definitely did. The later ones, glee in the gore and the over-the-topness of, like, certain things. You know, even the cheap-to-video kind of ones had a higher body count than this one does, but this one, you find that quite a lot of in like first ones,
definitely.
First films in franchise, they're just not nearly, you know, a bit more, you know, Nightmare, Halloween, or there's not like huge body counts in quite a few of them. Like, there are deaths, but there's just not, you know, you're talking 4 or 5 people and max kind of.
Yeah.
Thing. I think it's just us gluttonous for more death.
Yeah.
You know, we want you to introduce 20 characters and then kill off 30 characters.
Yeah. I mean, kill all of them brutally. Yeah. I want a death every 5 minutes or I can't, my brain just can't watch.
That's it. That's modern horror for you guys. That's it now. It's like, what the fuck? Someone hasn't died in 2 minutes.
Why are people talking?
Give me a refund for my ticket.
I expect a body a minute, man.
It's the only way to keep my attention. If I could just scroll this on TikTok.
Yeah. So Andy, you know, once after the doctor's had his head fucking scrambled, Andy kind of runs off home, and that's when Chucky fucking clarts him on the back of the head with a baseball bat. And we move into
voodoo, like,
He gets real close to taking him over, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
Before Mama comes in and throws him off.
Yeah, I like that little setup with Chucky kind of there, like trying to present him, and he's like lied down in his whole ritual setup kind of thing. Yeah. And I like that little bit. It's all very close to, you feel like it's gonna like happen, as if is it gonna, and it is a direction that they could have taken it, basically. Yeah. Like, there you go, here's the twist at the end, is actually did take him over or some shit. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
That's why I was wondering whether they do that, but then they want a franchise, don't they,
you know? Yeah, but it would have been a somewhat kind of cool little, like, oddly, like, you know, they kill, you know. Yeah. This little Chucky doll runs up to Mummy as she comes back into the house, and she fucking clocks it dead.
Yeah.
And be like, thinking, oh, fuck, he's coming to attack me, when actually it was Andy
that's
running.
Andy's spirit.
And
then here's
fucking
instead.
Andy, and it's like, I'm fucking.
Yeah, that would have been a fucking.
It would have been
a
brutal dark end, yeah. Wouldn't it? Like, when she's like, when she thinks everything's okay, and then that night in comes her son, she's like, what the fuck happened? And then she's just like, oh shit, we put the doll down the bin. That was Andy.
Yeah, we put the doll in the fireplace.
Yeah, we burnt that doll.
We cooked him.
Ah, oh, fuck.
Well,
she's in bed next to Mike.
Yeah.
She thought everything was okay.
There's
so
a tub of ice cream and a tub of butter next to her. And Mike Norris is all like shriveled and thin.
Ah, thinner.
Finner.
There you go. That's so, I guess Tom Holland directed Finner.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
And then we get the whole, well, basically final kind of attacking, stabbing at them.
He whomps Norris on the head with a baseball bat, which is a really cool shot.
Yeah.
Then it's so close. Well, they put him into the fireplace.
Yeah.
And I
love that bit when he's like a tank and they're just lob like game.
Yeah, they just yeet him in there. Because I was thinking this whilst I watched it, and I was like, I kind of went back and forward on this. When I was young, I was very much like, if I saw Chucky, I'd just fucking batter him. Look at it, man. It's a dog.
Yeah. And then, just yeet him out the window.
I would do bad things to him, man. It would be begging for death.
This is where the diddler theory came from. What Rob would do to Chucky.
What I'd be doing, man. What I'd be doing.
Strap that boy down.
Strap it down. Just fucking go to town on it, man. You know, I'd be terrified. By the end, he'd be asking to go into something else. You know, it's just fucking ruined.
It's like that. That's like that scene in Scary Movie 2.
Like that. It would literally be clown, like that. Right? It would literally be like that.
Who does the clown?
It'd be like
it's
that.
Like the clown thinks he's going to get him, and then he's actually like, no.
So yeah, he tries to do it, and it's just fucking gone. It's just absolutely clapped. You know? And then
Charles Lee Ray
is just gone. And then what I was thinking is, imagine if you were ambushed by something, like, you weren't expecting it. If it was like another person, you'd be freaked out. You'd be like, what the fuck? You'd be startled. And then if it was an animal, you'd be like, oh, fucking hell. But if it was something that you logically couldn't think was possible, you would be terrified as fuck.
Yeah.
And then the other thing of me was then if I knew, if I was like, if somebody said to me, Rob, like, Chucky's coming for you, so he might jump out at you any time. And then he jumped out at me, I'd be like, well, it's a doll. I'm fucking going at it. As soon as I saw it, I'd fucking have the trousers down. You know, like, that's what it would be going. So I was kind of like, by this point, you just fucking yeet him into the fire.
Yeah. You just burn the shit out of it.
You just burn the shit out of it.
Yeah, you're literally there like, how have we not just... It's also like the fact that they go one at a time, but it's kind of like, okay, he might be strong, but come on, guys. Just both of you, like a small child, grab him each by one arm and just lead him in or just pull him apart.
Just pull him apart.
So that would have been badass. If they just like, it's fine. He's only about as strong as a small child. Pull him apart. It's like,
he's even less stronger than a small dog.
Yeah, exactly. He's a dog.
He's a dog.
But he has got actual, like...
I mean, he's got something.
I think his muscle and stuff is starting to form underneath, so there's a little extra in there.
Yeah, either way, he'd be fucking getting cooked.
We will have to find out how easy it would be. I have at home, we have a Tickle Me Elmo. Me and you will just pull either side and see how long. How long for Tickle Me Elmo to split it up?
They just go at it.
Although you're more talking about splitting him half in a different way.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man. And then I love when they have it in, you know, in the fireplace and the mum's looking, trying to get the matches. And then this...
trapping him behind the gate, like the fire. Yeah,
and Andy lights a match, and he's like, "I thought I was your friend to the end," and Andy says, "This is the end, friend," and then chucks it. I thought that's so fucking good. You know?
Yeah, because he's such a cute kid. He's like such a sweet little like. But he feels like a legitimately young kid to have him doing like a...
Arnold's little quip.
Like.
Because the kid who plays Andy is really sweet. Like when you see him making his mum the breakfast.
Alex Vincent is the actor. Yeah.
When he's making his mum the breakfast, it feels like something a kid would do. It's really endearing. And then later on, like shortly before this, there's a scene where he's like really crying.
Mm.
And it got to me. I was like, "Fuck!" Like,
he is really good. Alex Vincent in the role, and he's for a kid actor. You know what I mean? And we know with kid actors, there's that easy line between cute and annoying as fuck.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And you can get that in certain
hard line to straddle as well.
Yeah, to get the kid that can like act but also be an emotional thing without grating on you, like Babadook or something like that. You know what I mean? That line is pushed in that film where you're like, the kid's quite good, but the kid's annoying as fuck.
Yeah.
Like that kind of like that.
He comes back for a couple of them as well.
He was in one. He was definitely in, I think, as a Cult of Turkey. I think he might be in the TV series at times. He
pops up in the second one, which is interesting.
I don't think it was the same actor him playing him in the sequels, the original sequels. So there's Child's Play 2 and
apparently
3.
He's in the second one.
Oh, is it him? It's him in it, is it? I thought it was an older kid now.
Maybe.
Or is it Child's Play 3 when it's a different act? Child's Play 3 is when it's like he's in like army, like academy, cadet academy or whatever it is kind of thing. I think that is that one.
I don't know if I've watched that one then. I watched the second.
There's
one
of them when he's like sent off to a, you know, like a cadet army brack academy kind of thing. Like in that one. I think that's the third one.
And he takes Chucky with him.
Yeah. Whereas the second one, I must be forgetting then.
Maybe, I mean, I don't know whether you're...
Because he can't be much older when he was in the second one, if he's still the actor, because do you know what they're like with these studios? Yeah. Like, it would have been like a year or two later, and they're like, we're on the next one.
We're on the next one, maybe. I mean, I'm not sure whether you may potentially be getting confused with an Omen film, because I know later in the franchise, Damien gets sent off to a military school, doesn't he? I'm now also Googling this, and I realise that this is... great listening for our
I'm certain, as we sit in silence on Google,
I mean, I don't think I've ever seen it.
The second one has the whole, it has like a factory.
I remember the second one in the factory. Yeah, this takes place 8 years after Child's Play 2, and oh shit, yes, so this one,
I'm certain he was in some kind of cadet academy or like sent away to some kind of boarding school kind of thing.
Yeah, he's been sent to a military boarding school.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There you go. I knew that was the case. It's been a very long time. I was blending... I'm still certain that even in that one, they still end up in some kind of factory as well. So I can't remember. Or I'm blending the two sequels together, which could be the case. Because if I remember correctly, in Child's Play 2, the mum, it does not return. Or the mum gets killed off. Okay. And therefore they have someone else looking after Andy, like a, you know, like a foster... someone or something, that kind of thing. So I can't quite remember how that plays out. So yeah, I need to rewatch the sequels.
Yeah,
I kind of want to have to rewatch the sequels. Right. So it's that final battle as it goes on. Because you've got the like a horror, like you've got Chucky returns, like he's all burnt up,
yeah.
And then that's when Karen shoots him, and he blows his limbs and his head,
yeah,
and
which is class.
Blast in the, you know, just start blasting.
She just starts blasting him, you know, and then Mike Norris wakes up.
But that's the thing. I like the fact about this end is the fact that Chucky just doesn't fucking give up.
Yeah,
like screaming Berman, and then he comes back, and then he gets shot in his limbs and head. And then he's still fucking there. He comes back. Yeah. He's still crawling. Comes out of the he comes out of the vent. Doesn't like at. And then that's when yes, finally that's when we get the final fucking shot to the
Heart. Because
they told him John Voodoo.
John Voodoo
told them that he needs the heart is the part that's still living in there that needs to be, you know, the part that's growing from it grew from the heart or something like that. Yeah. So it needs to be. And yeah, the fact that they blast the shit out of
him. And they just fucking don't stop shooting him. And then I think it just ends.
Well, Andy,
think...
Andy just looking at the remains of Chucky, basically, he's like fucked apart.
Yeah, I don't think this.
And it is fairly ending, kind of. Yeah, no, there's no like real tease or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't recall there being.
There was,
tease.
I think there was an original cut. There is an alternate ending where like he's blown to bit or something like that.
Yeah.
Basically, like they take all the parts in, and then you see one hand left behind, and the hand
moves,
parts crawling away or something like that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't recall there being one.
To give it a little thing, but I don't think there's no like tease or setup for a sequel.
So I think there isn't the second.
It could have been a one and done.
I can't remember. Yeah, could have been. Because I remember the last time I watched this a couple of years back. I then watched the second one immediately after, and I remember that had a setup for the next one.
Yeah,
and I can't remember if I watched the third one or not. So I think the third one's done by Don Mancini, isn't it?
Yeah, it goes back to him. That's what I mean. It's more interesting. I don't know when was the last time you'd actually watched any of these films? Because I remembered you obviously saying that you weren't a big fan of the franchise kind of thing. And but when was the last time you actually watched this original film?
I mean, it's
been a long time since I've watched it. I had the box set and stuff like that. And I used to borrow all the box sets, but
I used to
borrow this one.
I didn't borrow them because I remember watching a couple of them, and I didn't like them enough to borrow them from you, to be completely honest. I was like, yeah, I'm not bothered with that. I noticed that you gave it a 3.5 star on your letterbox, you naughty little boy. But I can't see that I've actually logged it on Letterboxd, and I log everything I watch, so I don't think I've watched this for maybe since pre-COVID.
I'd go back. Yeah, for me, I've not watched this original film since probably again like high school, secondary school or college kind of age. I'm talking 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, it's
probably
been a long time.
Possibly a little less than that.
I guess I
remembered like this film because you know there are many reasons why I remember it, and it's not even, as I said, it's not even actually even this original film. It's more the two sequels that had interesting cover art boxes.
Yeah, I remember
that.
They had really interesting art
and
boxes.
I also remember because this had a big in the UK. This film was quite controversial because it was about a toy and murdering and the like commercials. It had like. It was in the UK. This was linked with murders and.
I remember reading the third one because I think the third one came out in. I think the third one came out in 1991, 1992 or something.
Yeah.
And I think shortly after we had the Jamie Bulger case here.
Yeah.
And I think the two got
that one
intertwined
was linked,
in that.
That
movie.
One was linked to the. They said that like was one of the films that the boys who'd done that had watched.
Yeah.
There's also another one, The Murder of Suzanne Capper, who was much more even linked even more because it had they had actual audio record footage or something from like a camera or something that was nearby, and it was a girl that got set. She was set on fire by a bunch of 16-year-olds and stuff like that in Manchester in like 92 or something like that, and literally like the quotes, it has them quoting Chucky saying, "I'm fucking Chucky," and lit her on fire. So it's fucking like, so that like caused it to happen here. Like the third one, I think, had it like it was taken out of cinemas and stuff like that, and
really,
pretty much was banned, like stopped and banned. And Yeah, it had a weird thing, and they had so many complaints, and they're like, I think there's even ones of Tom Holland saying, I used to get literally letters, like, I got, like, for years, I got letters from the UK of basically parents saying, like, you're fucking, like, vile, and you've destroyed it, even though it wasn't necessarily even, like, that specific one or sequel or whatever, and it wasn't even the one they had made, but he was still getting letters at anything to do with the franchise. And there were loads of ones. There were like bannings because they had like when they released the original film on like video, they did a commercial where it had like Chucky saying like vulgar things and stuff like that, and that like it was all over TV. And they were like, how the hell did anyone let this go on? They had like proper like protests outside like MGM and Universal and stuff like that, like being like you're thwarting child's mind because you're trying to say that toys are evil violence, in this way. And to be fair, even the original concept of the film, I think Don Mancini said, came from the Cabbage Patch Dolls, where they used to have like parents rioting outside of the building, like outside of like stores when they were trying to get the next newest Cabbage Patch Dolls.
Yeah,
that's what inspired him—the commercialism of like people go fucking crazy for these things.
Yeah,
and you know it causes this whole like major thing. But what if one of them was?
What if one of them was fucking nuts?
Yeah, what if one of them was mad? So. Yeah, it's an interesting it's an interesting idea for a film. I can't say that it's always taken to the best way, but as I said, it's been a long time. Apart from the late ones, The Cult and The Curse, I have not watched any of the other films in a very, very long time. So I'm also kind of interested to kind of revisit the franchise, to be honest. Give it another new look, because I always liked this original one, though, to be fair. I always liked the original one. Whether the other ones are any good, I can't hold them. Yeah. But I always liked the original one, whereas, I don't know. I don't know about you. We'll find out. But whether you're tainted by the sequels and not so much the original, I don't know. But I guess that's the big question. You, must see horror.
Let's start with you.
I think I would say so. Like, that's not... like I was wondering, because if it was going to be... because of if it would have aged differently for me, or if I liked it when I was young, because it'd been so long since I'd seen it, I was like, maybe I wouldn't. And you know, but I think this original one, from what I remember, it kind of stands out as its own kind of thing. I always like it when they have a little bit of restraint and hold back, but mainly I think it's because that this was a fairly original idea. And as much as it is, Chucky is a long standing icon of horror. And I think to dismiss like the original is kind of a hard one to say, like, nah, that's not like an important kind of film to watch. It's got important stuff with animatronics and the way that they've used that as part of the story. And, you know, trying to come up with a different slasher. And the good thing is it's not too corny, and it's not too cheesy in this first one, that you can take it somewhat seriously, and you can take the investigation where it can go very off. But I think this original should still be like seen for what it is, as alongside those other ones. I'm not saying it's as strong as some of the other ones, like Michael Myers or like Jason, to me, in that same way. But I just think it's got a legacy behind it, and I think it is definitely worth seeing, even if it's just this original one and not following the rest of the franchise. I think it's worth it as its own.
Okay.
On to you.
I'm debating, because I'm gonna say it. I don't think it is must-see horror. I don't get me wrong, I don't dislike.
I expected you to go this way, but
I don't dislike the film. I think it's you know, it's a good film. I think it has a good list of characters. I think Chucky is he's a decent kind of villain. I'm looking at not the whole of the franchise, but I'm looking at Chucky kind of just in this one. Mm. And I think he's a decent enough villain. I do think that the later kind of, you know, franchise and the later character he eventually became does define him more and make him more of the iconic kind of character that he is. Mm. But if I'm looking at just this film, I would say no, I don't think it is. I think it's like, it's an okay and it's a good film, but I don't think it would be must-see horror. I think when we've speak about some of the films that we have spoken about, they've been a lot more interesting. This kind of, I wouldn't say it feels very by the numbers, but I think it's like, if this had been a one and done film, I don't think Chucky would have later gone on to get cult status. I kind of feel like this film would have kind of fit maybe alongside something like Chopping Mall or something like that, you know? It's kind of like, it's better than Chopping Mall, but it's kind of not massively memorable, I don't feel like.
I think it's much better done than a lot of those other cheap variations.
Oh, yeah. But I think maybe that, for me, more comes down to Tom Holland and the budget that it had. I think, it is kind of better than those films. But I think just looking at Child's Play and not looking at the second one, the third one, and then the rest of the franchise, I think the original Child's Play is kind of a bit... It's an alright film. I don't think it's must see horror. I still think I prefer the remake. Yeah. I still think I prefer the remake. I think the remake's just more interesting, you know, and has more going for it.
I think I'd have to rewatch because I've only seen that once. So I feel like I liked it in the cinema, but it's one of those I keep expecting to rewatch and then be like, this isn't actually as good as I
maybe it might happen.
Because I found that with a few remakes where at first I was like, that was really good, and then I went back and watched it again and I was like, it wasn't actually as good as I thought. Like, maybe it was just the first viewing of it that was good. But hopefully, I hope that's not the case, because I remembered liking it.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
I mean, we split them, which means that, you know, we have to take it to the public vote. So, you know, as always, if you've enjoyed the episode, come and let us know what you think of Chucky? See, I fucking did it.
You did it, yeah. Chucky.
See what you think.
Child's Play.
And if it's a must-see horror. If you think it is a must-see horror, you put hashtag Team Epo, E-P-O-H. If you think it isn't, you put hashtag Team Bobby. And we are on Instagram and Twitter at CMTH Podcast. Let us know, because we'll be interested. I imagine most people will think this is must-see horror. I will be sent into exile, spat on, called horrible names, but that's just my life. That's how it is.
That's what happens.
That's no difference.
That's what happens when he's wrong.
That's what happens when I'm wrong.
And also, don't forget, hashtag butter or hashtag ice cream.
Remember to hit that subscribe button. Please leave us a lovely review. And we will see you next week for another very interesting film. I'm just teasing him with it.
Beast.
The Beast. Hashtag... what the fuck did I just say hashtag there for? Hashtag take care of yourself. Hashtag stay blessed. Stay humble. See you next week. Bye bye.